Emmanuel. Behold, the virgin will shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. A long time before Jesus was born, a prophet named Isaiah announced to everyone in Israel that a young woman, a virgin, would give birth to a very special baby. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. By coming to earth, Jesus, who was both God and man, fulfilled God's promise to be with us. He showed us who God is and how he wants us to live. When he died on the cross and rose again, he made it possible for us to be accepted into God's family. If we trust him to save us, he lives in us as our Emmanuel.
I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. Where do you feel safest? Probably at home in the woods, with the door locked, right? The safest place for sheep is in a big fenced area called sheepfold. There is only one door to enter in or go out, and the shepherd keeps watch there throughout the night to protect his sheep. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the one and only door to God's sheepfold, John 14:6. The only way we can become one of God's special sheep and enter into the safest place we can be is through Jesus. Thank God for the door.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Do you know what would happen if you cut off a branch from your Christmas tree? The branch would die, wouldn't it? When a branch is cut off, it cannot get the food and water it needs to live. This is also true of a grapevine. Jesus taught us that he is the true vine and we are his branches. We are connected to Jesus. He provides everything we need to live and grow. He produces fruit in our lives, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. We become more and more like Jesus, and our lives glorify God.
Giver of living water. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. John 4:10. Have you ever played outside until you become very hot and really thirsty? When you finally took a drink, it was refreshing, wasn't it? Jesus knows that we are thirsty for more than just water. We also thirst for true happiness and fulfillment in our lives. That's why he offers to us living water, the Holy Spirit, to quench our thirst. John 7:37-39. Trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and you'll have a well of living water in you, and you'll never thirst for true happiness again.
Light of the world. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. At Christmas time, many people decorate their houses and Christmas trees with lights. As we celebrate the season, those lights remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. He came to earth to be our light so that we may no longer have to live in the darkness of sin. And he wants his light to shine through our hearts and lives. This happens as we obey God's word, share his love with family, friends, and neighbors, and tell others about Jesus, the light of the world.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify you these things for the churches. I am the bright morning star, Revelation 22:16. No two Christmas trees are alike. From house to house, each one is uniquely decorated, except for one special ornament that shines brightly on top of most Christmas trees around the world, the star. This ornament represents the famous star that the three wise men followed to find the baby Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is called the bright morning star. And like the wise men, we too must seek and follow Jesus by worshiping him and serving him with our whole heart.
Behold, the lion is from the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5, verse 5. When we think of Jesus at Christmas, we remember him as a gentle, sweet little baby. We don't think about him being strong like a lion, do we? And yet, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. That's because he is our mighty king who came from the royal tribe of Judah. He conquered the devil and sin and death on behalf of everyone who believes in him. This Christmas, celebrate Jesus as more than a baby in a manger. Worship him as your strong and mighty king.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. Before Jesus came, people had to sacrifice a perfect lamb to show that they were truly sorry for their sins. After God's people had been sacrificing lambs for many years, they wished they could make one sacrifice that would forgive all their sins once and for all. God sent Jesus, the Lamb of God. His death on the cross took away the sins of his people forever. Aren't you thankful that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to be the perfect sacrifice for all who believe in him?
Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:11. Jesus told his followers a story about a shepherd with 100 sheep. One of them wandered away and was lost. The Good Shepherd left all the others to find the lost one, because he cared about all the sheep. The Bible calls Jesus the Good Shepherd, and we are his sheep if we follow him. Psalm 95:7. He takes care of all of our needs. He gives us rest when we are weary, comfort when we are scared, and protection. He even gave us his life to save us. What a wonderful shepherd.
He who is the best and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, 1 Timothy 6:15. He knows someone who's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus really does have the whole world, including all the kings and rulers, and you and me in the palm of his hand. The Bible says that Jesus is the sovereign, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That means he's all powerful, all wise, and in control of everything that happens. God wants us to honor Jesus as our King. We do that by serving, trusting, and obeying him. And that is the gift Jesus wants from you this Christmas.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." John 6:35. There's nothing like freshly baked cookies, cakes, and breads, especially during the holidays. Just the aroma makes me hungry. But did you know that your spirit is hungry too? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He wants us to understand that we need God and his word to live. Just as our bodies need food to live, we also need spiritual food, God's word, to satisfy the deepest hunger in our hearts. Spend some time reading the Bible every day and remember to thank God for his son, Jesus, the bread of life.
The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. 1 John 4:14-15. With all the fun and the excitement of opening presents at Christmas, do you ever forget that Jesus is the greatest gift ever given? The Bible tells us that Jesus was born to save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. God gave us the gift of Savior. Even his name, Jesus, means the Lord is salvation. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he took the punishment and paid the penalty of sin for all who believe. This Christmas, tell him you want to receive his great gift of love and salvation.
John chapter 1, it's been so long ago that we started the Gospel of John here in church. It's been probably about 15 months. We're going to finish it this Sunday, believe it or not. Last week of John 21. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus came as a light in the world, and even though the world is a terribly dark place, the world did not snuff out the light that was in Christ. There's three general statements about God in the Bible. God is light, God is life, and God is love. And if I had to pick one, which I don't know if I could, the love of God seems to be the overwhelming character trait as it relates to the rest of us, because there's not much in us that can give back to God more than what he's already given to us. But for us to even have an idea on how we should live, we needed a lighthouse, a place of guidance, and that was Christ, who came as the light of the world. He came to us to light our way. And Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, so we would see which way to go. If you've seen the business cards changed and started generating, I have a section from Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus talks about the way that leads to heaven, that goes through the gate. And the way is narrow, the way is smaller compared to the wider way that the majority will be on. Jesus had to show us which way to go. Tonight, Craig, as you probably know, has gotten the opportunity to work in SWIM. So he is driving to SWIM as we speak. So looking at maps, looking at things, what am I going to do? How do I get there? He needed some maps, some guidance, some addresses, but he's on the way. Because just to take off and stay dry for a while and then move south, hopefully you'll be at work, that's not going to work. Jesus gave us a goal, the goal of being like him, as we honor our Father. And Jesus' life came to show us how we can honor the Father. And once we know Christ as our Savior, once we have come and had that relationship with him that gives us new life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. He speaks to us. He guides us. He comforts us, gives us correction, gathers our hearts and our minds so we can stand humbly before God. Then Christ shines in us. There's only a few times in Scripture where humility is held out as an example of what someone is like. One of the times was Moses. Moses was presented as a meek and humble man, because God had put him in a great position of control and authority. Imagine being God's spokesman. What an amazing position of control. When Jesus came, Philippians chapter 2 primarily, Colossians chapter 1 speaks to us about the humility of Jesus as he left heaven to be one of us. Sometimes we don't like being told what to do, but Jesus grew up in a house with parents. If you're a parent like myself, you can reflect on what it's like to have children and try and have them do the right thing, praise them enough times, correct them the right number of times, not be too crabby with them, not spoil them. Imagine Jesus' parents. They were in a no-win situation. The best thing they had was at the end of the day, they could go to bed knowing they had a perfect child. Some parents believe they have one. Mary and Joseph knew that they had a perfect child. For us, the world can be a dark place without the light we need from God.